You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Any better?
Okay, now I'm recording. Dave?
Yeah.
Okay.
What'd you do, drop me?
Well, no, what happened when I added you, for some reason, you know the MP3 Skype recorder that we use?
Yeah.
The pro version, it stopped the file and asked me to rename the file. So it stopped recording and it didn't start recording again once I added you.
You know, computers.
Yeah, I know. Dude, don't get me started. Don't get me started.
That's true.
I quit.
There are enemies.
Yes.
Hey, just
enemies in the machine.
Little FYI, I am wearing right now my Banzai Retro Club t-shirt. So.
Aw, nice.
Oh, do I get a t-shirt now?
Yeah, you know, you can buy one. Okay. I went online. If you go to our website, you can go to the merchandise department and buy a t-shirt. And I bought.
I didn't know you had a merchandise department.
That sounds so formal.
Cool.
Yeah, the merchandise department.
Yes, it's the department.
Part something big.
You know, they have. We have coffee mugs and t-shirts, and I got the V-neck, the men's version of the V-neck, so it's a little bit better than just a standard t-shirt. They do have the ladies' styles of t-shirts also to choose from. What else is on there? Dave, you ordered something.
Yeah, I got the coffee cup and the long sleeve t-shirt.
Yeah, I wanted to get a phone case, but I wasn't sure. It was just the rubber silicone case, so I wanted something more protective, but whatever. I have a cassette tape for my phone case now. I mean, it looks like
that's cool.
Cassette tape.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm a big dork.
Very clever.
Hey, guys, can you hold on one sec?
Okay, one sec.
Holding.
Maybe he's dealing with Charlie. It might be Charlie. You know, I have three greyhounds in my office right now.
Really?
And you would never know.
They're very quiet.
They're so quiet. These dogs are amazingly quiet.
Very nice.
Yeah. We have, one of them has got bad gas, though, because something stinks.
Oh, God. I hope it's not too small a room.
I think it's Jarvis. So, our, I don't know how much I've told you about the Greyhound thing that I'm involved with.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So we have Bella and Bruce are ours. We've adopted them. We've had Bella for almost 2 years. Oh, wow. Has it been 2 years already? And then Bruce we've had since February. He graduated the prison training program back then. And Jarvis is back with us. He was our foster a couple months back, and he went into – he's dreaming right now. He's running, chasing something. That's funny.
Aww.
All right. Sorry, I'm back.
So anyway, Jarvis graduated last Friday from the prison program, but he has not been adopted yet. So he's back with us because he knows us and he knows Bella and Bruce very well. And he's a really good dog, but he's just not good with small dogs or cats. He would eat them.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah, he would eat them. but he's really a good dog. He gets along so well with ours. If I could fit a third like permanently, I would try to talk my wife into it. But it's kind of tight.
But they're all in your office right now.
They are all in the office right now, sleeping, and Jarvis is dreaming, and one of them has gas. But. Dave, what's going on,
yes.
buddy?
How I'm you back, doing? Man. I'm back. I'm sorry. Patty wanted to get a quick update on status of things. She just got in the house.
Okay. So you made okay. You got dinner set situated, and
we got all that covered. We did the quick update. Here's the status of things. You know, who's going to go take a shower next? garbage is out, ready to go. You know, the house stuff is covered now.
All
it's
right,
covered.
Cool.
You guys don't have to worry about that. I got it covered.
Okay. Awesome.
No.
And I have my my bourbon right here.
Awesome.
And as a reward.
Oh my.
As a reward.
My Tully. I've been editing before we started the show, and my Tully's getting a little short, but we'll be all right.
What do you drink, Suzanne?
Let's see. Wine's okay. I'm kind of a vodka girl.
Okay.
Vodka.
I do like, you know, martinis and stuff. Mostly sweet girly things like you know, apple teenies and such.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I mix it up now and then.
All right. Well, we tend to talk about whiskey a lot, so you might have to throttle us back a little bit.
Yeah, occasionally you might have to rein us in a few times. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, if you insist. But in that case, I drink VO and ginger ale.
Okay.
All right. So you guys didn't do like introductions or anything yet. I didn't miss that part, right?
No. We were discussing a couple of songs that we mentioned in the 1982 show that I told her about, that I have special editions of. One is Space Age Love Song by Flock of Seagulls, and then the other one is Missing Persons, Destination Unknown. And I have it on this weird, you know, one of these 80s collections. I wonder if it might be the one that you sent me, Dave. How many discs did it have? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
It was not. If it was three, then it might be the right one. But anyway, Dave sent me one a couple years ago for Christmas. Such a nice guy.
And that was actually a Christmas gift that made it on time, I think.
Yes. Along with The Last Starfighter. DVD,
yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, I still want whatever video cassette you said it was you had with all those MTV early videos on it. I want to know where you got that one.
Yeah, doesn't that sound awesome?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's pretty cool. I wonder if there's a way I can get it to you. I might be able to rip it to a USB drive and mail it to you.
That'd be great.
Okay. Well, I'll work on that. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. All right. Do you guys want to get started?
Sure.
All right. Ready to rock and roll.
The making of a great compilation tape, like breaking up, is hard to do and takes ages longer than it might seem. You gotta kick it off with a killer to grab attention. Then you gotta take it up a notch. But you don't wanna blow your wad, so then you gotta cool it off a notch. There are a lot of rules.
12 albums, 1 cent. Find our ad in Sunday's paper, take it to your mailbox. You'll get a lot more music. You'll get a lot more life. Look in your Sunday paper.
Welcome, listener. For those about to rock, we salute you. This is our podcast dedicated to exploring and talking about the greatness that was the music of the best decade. If you're ready for the best in retro music topics on the planet, we present for your enjoyment 80s mixtape Auto Reverse.
Rock and roll. Well, new wave, but whatever. It's all rock. Still rocker. It's still rock and roll to me. Okay, a three-way Billy Joel reference. That's good stuff.
What's the matter with the tie I'm wearing?
Here's a prickle
somewhere. That's good. All right, everybody, welcome back to Banzai Retro Club and another version of 80s Mixtape Auto Reverse. We are continuing with our 1980s new wave stuff, and we are on a big year, 1983, and I'm so excited to talk about the album that I've chosen as my number one album. And it's good stuff. 1982 was a lot of fun, but it's really starting to kick up the next gear. So tonight we are recording with Dave, my usual co-host, and Suzanne, our newest, and it's exciting to bring her on board as a regular, and she's going to be joining us for other shows other than New Wave. So that's awesome. Welcome, Suzanne, again, and hello, Dave. Talk amongst yourselves.
Let's cool our jets a little bit. She hasn't been through initiation yet.
Oh, is there an initiation? Uh-oh.
There's an initiation.
You can tell me that.
Oh, I guess I should have warned you.
She has to watch the Forbidden Zone and the Star Wars Holiday Special.
I was just going with the first one. I wasn't going to subject her to both. So yeah, there's a movie that remains unnamed, but he just said it. It's a bad, 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 bad movie. I was forced to watch it by him. So I think you should be subjected to the same thing because we bring it up often.
So how hard is it to find?
What was it on, Dave? What did you find?
I found it on Tubi.
Tubi.
T-U-B-I.
Okay. So Suzanne, if you can't find it for free somewhere, I'll send it along with the USB drive if you promise to return it, because it's my copy of DVD. But it's something, it's very, it's very
unique.
Is this
like one of those 1950s sci-fi movie things?
It's bad. No? It's a bad movie. Yeah,
it's not 1950s, it is 1980, and it is Oingo Boingo and Danny Elfman and his brother Richard Elfman at their finest.
Well, let's define finest. I'm sorry to subject you to this, but you've got to have a point of reference when we're picking on this movie. At least I pick on it more than he does. For some reason, he chooses to watch this thing over and over again, and so it'd be really great to get your perspective after viewing. I know how I feel, and I think it's pretty obvious.
Okay.
Diane
Franklin.
Bad.
I'm just gonna say.
So now I have homework.
Yep, Diane Franklin. That's all I have to say.
Just because one person likes it, come on.
But it's Diane Franklin that liked it.
Yeah, but Diane had this whole artistic thing about how wonderful it was around from an artistic point of view.
That's exactly why Suzanne might appreciate it.
Okay. Why haven't I heard of it? Is the thing.
Oh yeah, it's bizarre. It's the most bizarre movie you'll ever watch. And if you can make it through the first 20 minutes, then you'll be in. But you gotta give it a good 15-20 minutes to like really sink in to where they're going with it.
Okay.
It's out there.
I'm looking at some images now. It looks kind of wild, kind of Rocky Horror almost.
Yeah, a little bit.
If you do drugs or if you drink, it might be a good.
Help? Yeah.
Okay. it might help.
Come on, it's Hervé Villechaize.
I did that with Eraserhead one year, and it didn't work out so good.
Oh, Eraserhead. Yeah, that one's pretty far out there too.
No, a lot of states are legalizing marijuana now. So if that's available, maybe.
Can't do that since Amsterdam, 1985.
That is a serious teaser for a story, really.
Yes.
I guess.
Okay. By the way, I'm going to be going to Amsterdam here at the beginning of November.
Oh, jealous.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
I've never
been. Well, be
careful.
Maybe I'll have my own story to tell.
All right. Okay. So do you guys want to get started on 1983 or what?
Yeah, we probably should, so we have some time to talk.
Okay, so Dave, you've been sitting out for a couple of shows now. You weren't able to join us for 81 and 82. And
correct.
80, what, 80, 80 also? Was it two shows or three?
Let's see. I know I was on the kickoff.
79.
Right. I don't think I was on 80 or 81, 82. I know. I provided input into at least one of them.
You did. You did add some. Right. You sent me some suggestions for what you want to talk about, and we did discuss that.
Minute Work was one of them. I remember that.
Great.
Business as usual. I just forget what year that was.
I think it was 81.
Okay.
Because 82, when Susanna and I recorded, you were out of town on business and you didn't get to chime in until, like, you know, we were already like 30 minutes into the show and you're like, ah, I'm done. I'm just getting back to the room or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's when I was in Minnesota.
Yeah. Minnesota, yeah. So anyway, Dave, 1983.
Yeah, earned the right to go first now. Sorry.
Yes, you have. So 1983. What do you think?
Well, let me ask a qualifying question before I give my bona fide answer here, because I have one of two choices to go with based on how you feel. I did a Google search for. Dude, you're gonna understand in a minute.
Okay.
I did a Google search for 1983 New Wave albums, and this album showed up. But the genre that this band is normally associated with is not what I would consider New Wave. But it's definitely one that I'd like to talk about.
Hmm.
So the album is ZZ Top's Eliminator. Do you consider them New Wave?
Wow. I would not put them in the New Wave category at all.
No, yeah, and that's how either. I was feeling, too. They were big on MTV, you know, around the same time. But I wouldn't call that New Wave. They were more, they were more like the Bob Seger crowd was kind of listening to the ZZ Top.
But. Yeah, it's kind of it's almost a classic rock before it was classic.
More you know Southern rock, I think.
Southern rock, yeah, falls
into
that category.
Yeah, I'd go with that. But yeah, they weren't pretty boys.
No, they weren't. Not at all. But the funny thing is, if you Google 1983 New Wave albums, Eliminator shows up on that list.
Really?
And I thought, that's kind of bizarre. And you actually do see it as, you know, it lists it as a New Wave. But when you do look at, like, you look at the band bio, it doesn't say anything about New Wave. Well, so that's why I wanted to clarify.
I will say, according to some cruise trivia people, Cyndi Lauper is a one-hit wonder. So, you know, there's lots of things that are wrong in this world.
So we're Eliminator is
ZZ
eliminated.
ZZ Top is
eliminated. What you're saying.
Eliminator is eliminated.
Eliminator is eliminated.
That's very clever also.
Okay. All right.
This is a great way to start the show. I love this. This is good. This is fun.
Controversy.
Okay. All right. So what's your next pick then?
Off to David's second choice. You know, I know I'm going to steal Scott's pick here, but what you guys don't realize is that Scott is like the number one fan for Lamal, and Kajagoogoo had their first album. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going Kajagoogoo.
Okay, good. I'm about to make fun of
Just because I like to pick on Scott about the Lamal thing, and I saw the shot. Maybe that's his pick. I don't know.
It's not, but it was. Hey, it was a good name drop when I used it at the right time.
Yes,
Lamal.
That album came out. What was it called? White Feathers, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
But Too Shy was on that album that came out in 1983.
Anyway,
that is
not your pick, though.
That's not my pick. I'm going Duran Duran's Seven and the Ragged Tiger.
Very good. Very good.
Ah, okay.
All right.
Tell us why.
So, well, you know, the big hits that came out, you know, and Duran Duran just personified that new wave look, I think, back then. You know, they not only were they like the pretty boy band, but they had the hair, you know, nicely big and coiffed. And, you know, they had a presence, you know, and it was such a great band. You know, it was such a great band that they named it twice. You know, ha ha ha, insert laughter. But the songs that came out of this, two really great songs that came out of this was The Reflex and Union of the Snake. Yes, and I can never get tired of hearing The Reflex.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So that song has always stuck with me. I've always loved hearing that. I even to this day, if it comes on, I'm turning the radio up and singing along. Union of Snake, another great song. So I had a lot of fun with it. Today I had the opportunity to kind of pick on, or not pick on, but listen to a lot more of the other songs that are on the album. Mm-hmm. I guess the one that I thought was really surprisingly that I liked was a song called The Seventh Stranger. Hmm. So that was side two all the way to the last song. So I really enjoyed, you know, kind of revisiting the album. But, you know, I feel that Duran Duran needs to have a presence in our list, obviously, because of, you know, how influential they were, not only as a new wave band, but also to what we were getting, you know, with MTV. You know, and they were just a big presence. And when they made videos, it was a production, you know, and it was just something to, you know, to really love. You know, it wasn't on this album, but the what was the one with where they're through the jungle?
Wolf, Hungry Like the Wolf.
Hungry Like the Wolf. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And that was such a great, you know, premise of a storyline, you know, a video. So, I mean, these guys were just rocking it, and I loved what they were giving us. And in 1983, you know, with the Reflex, Union of Snake, great songs.
Yeah, I remember, actually, Suzanne, you mentioned this last week, or not Seven in the Rag and Tire, but Duran Duran, how on MTV, they were kind of setting the precedent for videos. And I was totally on board with you on that one. I think that they were really on the front edge of taking the videos to the next level and really being fun and storytelling and cool stuff. So
yeah, definitely. They were costumed. They were in matching suits. They were in exotic locales. They knew how to do it. They knew how to get people's attention, and they looked great. And it completely contrasted with the look of the 70s with everybody in just like, you know, beat up jeans and long scraggly hair, and you know, it was just like hair products ruled, and they made a career out of that. It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, the other song I remember on that one is New Moon on Monday. I always liked that song too.
That's another good one. Yeah.
That was one of the more of the radio friendly songs. Well, I mean, they're all radio friendly, but they really didn't get the play like New Moon on Monday and Reflex and You Know the Snake. Mm. Those are all got a lot of radio play and MTV play, and but New Moon on Monday was one that I always liked. So it was a good pick.
Yeah.
I don't remember New Moon on Monday. Did it have a video that was like in wide circulation?
Oh, I don't know. I know I heard it on the radio a lot.
I heard the song. I don't know that I remember. I remember the Reflex video. I remember
definitely got the Reflex.
Slick around that time. That, you know, they were not even like a club band anymore. They were like a concert. But that was like a phenomenon by that point. After Rio, forget it. So.
Yeah, they became arena, like an arena band, really.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like right. a lot of the hair bands that went on to do, they became arena bands, and Duran Duran used to put on a big show. I really wish that's one concert that I wish I could go back and actually go to.
I went to see them a couple of years ago. I mean, it was way after the fact. It's just kind of a
right,
the retro crowd, but it was still fun. Simon Le Bon sounded great.
Oh yeah, and it's still the not just the two Taylor brothers, but all three of the Taylors. Remember, we talked about that last week. Remember the drummer was not a brother of the Taylors, but he still carried the same last name.
Still a Taylor, yeah, it was still a Taylor. That was confusing. I don't know that if it was the original drummer who played when I saw them, but it was Nick Rhodes, John Taylor, and Simon Le Bon. I forget who else. I'm not sure if the rest was authentic, but
yeah,
I was close enough. I could kind of see what strings John Taylor was plucking, so I was liking all that.
Yeah, that was pretty close.
Hmm. Yeah, it was not bad.
Wow. So there is actually a New Moon on Monday official music video.
Actually, I just saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm remembering little flashes of, well, like you're saying, storytelling. Wasn't there like a lot of blue and night scenes and such on a pier or something, maybe?
Possibly.
Well, I'm going by memory. I'm not looking on the computer yet.
I'm cheating. I'm on YouTube. That's cheating.
But it's here. You gotta use your tools.
Yes,
I agree. So anyway,
right. Well, I might be remembering something else anyway.
So why don't we move on to somebody's next pick? How about Suzanne? You want to go next?
I get to go next?
Yes, go.
Okay.
Next.
All right. Well, this was a crazy year. The list is just so huge of the great albums that are out in this year. And I know I say that every time, but it's true. They just keep ramping up.
Yeah.
So I can't tear myself away from to feature The Police, because come on, Synchronicity came out this year, and that was probably, I think, one of the best albums of the whole decade. So that has to be my pick. It was the last Police album. It was their biggest, flashiest, most commercial one. They had a ton of videos come out of it. Every Breath You Take and Wrapped Around Your Finger and Tea in the Sahara. And King of Pain was probably one of my favorite Police songs. I know I've said Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic is probably the favorite Police song, but King of Pain is just an amazing song. It's simple, and it's got decent like background and kind of overlays going on there where they're singing different things at the same time, and you're really paying attention to the lyrics. It's like poetry. It's really cool, you know? That's my soul up there. And that got me. The whole thing got me. And that, when I look back on my college years, that album is just like the biggest influence, I think, of the whole shebang, of the whole decade. So, and there's others that come close. I don't mean to, you know, diss any of the ones that are coming up in the next couple of years. And there's at least a couple more that I would, you know, I'm going to have to speak about at some point during this conversation. But there you go. Synchronicity.
I love the fact that I predicted that.
Well, it's not that hard. You knew it was coming.
Yes. But I'm with you. You know, the two songs that really, stand out for me out of this album is King of Pain and Every Breath You Take. And I'd probably have to give the edge to Every Breath You Take. And it's just personal preference. But King of Pain, still a very powerful song, and neither one of them get old. So this is a great pick.
It is a good pick. I actually lean towards the Synchronicity 1 and 2, both songs. Synchronicity 2 has always just been something special when I hear it on the radio. I absolutely love that song. And then one that's not really like highlighted a lot of times is Murder by Numbers. It's a nice little, it's something that's a little bit more like, Dave, you were talking about how we want to talk about a little bit deeper tracks.
Yeah.
I think Murder by Numbers, although it did have some radio play and it actually had a music video too, it seems like it's one of the deeper tracks that stands out to me.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. There was something that set that one apart. I don't know if it was on the original album. Maybe it was on.
It was only on
a B-side of something.
It says on Wikipedia, says it was released on cassette and CD versions, but not.
Yeah, that's what it is. It was on the album later. It wasn't on the original album.
It wasn't on the LP pressings, the actual vinyl.
Right, right. Yeah. See, I'm remembering.
So why are we trusting Wikipedia on this, but not on ZZ Top? No, just kidding.
Yeah. Well, that was
it's hard to say. Wikipedia tends to sometimes steer people wrong, I've noticed.
Yeah, no. But just to give the premise to the listener, what I did was I had said that, you know, as we talk about our picks, it's probably good to bring up maybe a song that doesn't get a lot of airplay, just so that if somebody was going to go back and revisit the album, maybe there's a song that we thought should be highlighted, you know, that maybe didn't get a lot of airplay that maybe should have. Mm-hmm. And I agree, Murder by Numbers is definitely a good pick off that one.
Once that you've decided on a killing, first you make a stone of your heart. And if you find that your hands are still willing, then you can turn a murder into art. There really isn't any more bloodshed.
There was a song called Miss Credenko, which is kind of weird. And I think it was one of the few that Sting did not sing on. I don't know if it's something where I would say, oh, listen to this. This is the greatest song. But it is a weird little song, and I liked it.
See, now I have more homework. This is awesome. I love having homework. I really do. Especially when it comes to music. I like hearing new stuff that I have not listened to before.
Yeah, that song's only 2 minutes.
And I really don't know that song at all. That does not ring a bell at all. 2 minutes.
Yeah, maybe it was a Stuart Copeland song. It was not. I don't think it was a Sting song.
It says Stuart wrote it. It does say Stuart Copeland. So
yeah.
Right.
See, okay, I'm not remembering well, because you know, once again, I was kind of devoted to the Police at the time, and I went and saw this tour, and it was like one of the highlights of my concert going years at Shea Stadium. It was a big deal.
Yeah, going to this actual tour would have been amazing, because you've got so much history behind them already. You've got so many great songs to go into.
Right, absolutely. Mm. And I read, and I've written about this on one of my blogs. Maybe you guys read too. I read that at that show at Shea Stadium is when Sting decided, all right, I played Shea Stadium like the Beatles. I've done everything I can do with this band. Time to go solo.
Mm. Okay.
So on that stage in front of all of us.
Wow.
The conclusion that he came to. But in any case, it was a crazy thing to do, to be witness to. And I was 19 years old, and it was like the farthest I've ever driven in my life yet.
So
I drove past the Nassau County border on Long Island.
So far, your pick and Dave's pick are two concerts that I wish I had gone to. Like, I wish I could have attended. That's two now in the same show. Wow. So, any more on Synchronicity? God, this is a great freaking album. This is a good pick.
Yeah.
And I kind of, like Dave, I kind of was thinking you might lean towards the Police again, just because this album is so impactful.
Yeah. I mean, how would I skip it?
you can't. Not, not knowing you as the Police fan that you are.
Yeah.
You can't. So.
But I told you that's why I went a little easy on Ghost in the Machine because I knew I was coming back to this one.
Yeah. So.
By the way, do you guys ever look at Funko Pops, like the toys?
Sorry, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. All right. Well, Funko Pops are like little collectible things, and they have like a big head. You may have seen them on stores, and you're really not. Yeah. Things. Yeah. They actually have the Police in Funko Pops. Yes.
Oh, man.
So I saw those list. In the store the other day, and I was like, Suzanne would flip.
Christmas list.
Actually, I wonder if I took a picture of them. Maybe if I did, maybe I'll. Yeah, maybe I'll have to post that.
Cool. Okay.
All right. Sorry to derail the conversation, but I just didn't know if you knew. It's okay. Yeah.
So, Scott, you get a pick.
Yeah, and this pick jumped out at me right away, and it is. It's The Fix, Reach the Beach. And it's got one thing leads to another, but they're like every song on this album, I've listened to this album over and over and over again. And there's only one song that I'm like, that's all right. All the rest are just kick ass. I love the rest of this album. It's one of my favorite like albums of all time, really. It's amazing. I don't know, you know, The Fix didn't get a huge following, like, say, The Police or Duran Duran. But I think that they did a really good job on this album. I absolutely love it. There's several songs that I there's one on there called Privilege that it's just got a really cool kind of an upbeat guitar thing going on. That's it's really cool. It's not heavy like, you know, my normal heavy metal stuff would be.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though it is 24 hours long. How come you feel unwired and disconnected? Draw attention to yourself. Is your life a living hell? Change your right, rewrite the script the way you planned it. Read your news reports. Truth and fact distorts, and the world's majority is understated. The views are on your mind, it's the wavelength you must find. Be prepared to hold your weight. Privilege, you have the right, if you're on the frequency. Yeah, if you're on the frequency. Oh yeah! So when you say that, there's always something to do, there must be one thing you can try. There's always something else to do.
But yeah, it's really cool. I love this album a lot. I don't know if you guys know it at all, but
man. I know it. I own this album.
Do you?
I own this album. Yeah, well, I don't anymore. My albums got destroyed, but I did own it at the time. Mm-hmm. I really liked Saved by Zero. And
great song.
One thing leads to another is a great song. That's a great dance song. I'll still put it on and play it over and over again and jump around and work out and stuff.
You know, I use that term a lot, actually. One thing leads to another in my work because we do remodeling. And so somebody will do like, oh, well, we need to do a backsplash or we need to paint the kitchen or whatever. And they're like, but then we have to do this. I'm like, yeah, it's just like The Fix. One thing leads to another. and it's totally true. Sing it. Yeah, no, I can't sing it. Yeah, I could do the video though, walking through these big giant sewer pipes that are, with the shoulder pad jacket.
Yeah, one thing leads to another.
That would definitely be a good Bonsai Retro Club commercial right there. You should do that.
Oh yeah, okay.
you know, I liked it. It had very fast lyrics, so it was fun to sing because not everybody could do it.
Yeah, that song is good. The Sign of Fire is good. Running is good. Saved by Zero is a great song, which they still use. Funny, it's they use a lot of that in several commercials still nowadays. I don't know. I can't remember who it is, but somebody uses the sound or
something
about Saved by Zero. It's like, it's either like say an insurance company or something.
Yeah. All right. I'm seeing Toyota.
Okay.
And Fidelity. Yeah.
Toyota. Toyota. I see that one. I can hear it now. Opinions is the fifth track on there. It's one of the deeper tracks that nobody knows, but is really, it's very slow, but the lyrics are amazing. And the rest of the album is just, it's really a good album. And a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people know about it. That's kind of.
Yeah. You know, what's really cool about this album? Mm. It had really neat cover art.
Oh yeah.
I really like this image that looks almost like it's molded out of, like the figure is molded out of plastic and pulling itself out of some kind of fake, ocean onto a beach. And,
yeah.
You know, it portrayed the title, but it just the colors and the stylized muscles and such, it was very neat.
Yeah.
I think it stood out among some of those other covers. Most of the cover art was usually just people's pictures, you know, you got to see their neat haircuts and such. So.
Right, the unique haircuts, yeah.
Yeah, this was different, so.
And again, like I think I've mentioned this in the past, I think it's an art that's been lost, cover art.
Absolutely.
I mentioned this many times on other episodes that my favorite cover art of all time is Tattoo You by Rolling Stones.
Mm.
Just it's Mick Jagger's face covered in tattoos. I think it was a sign of what was to come. In the world of tattoos, because they're so popular, you know, in the last 10 or 15 years, they've become a staple just in life. You know, you see them everywhere you go. So anyway, good cover art. But this album, if people haven't listened to it and don't know it well, it's really a good album. The lyrics are great. It's so well written and very well produced. So that's my take. Saved by Zero, Sign of Fire, great songs.
Very cool.
Dave, you got anything?
The two songs that I think everybody knows, and that's One Thing Leads to Another and Saved by Zero. I know those, but I don't know the others. Like Suzanne had said, that you know those are great iconic songs for that you know that time frame. Mm-hmm. So you know. It transports you back to the early 80s, and you hear that, and you're just like, you know, and in some cases, you may even go like, I forget the name of the band that sang this, but, you know, because they weren't like, you know, as big as like what we're talking about, you know, or not big as the Police or Duran Duran, but, I mean, they had a following, and if you took the time and had the album, I could see, you know, why you would have like a devotion to it.
Yeah. So one thing I'm confused on when I looked them up, and this is something I looked up, you know, a couple weeks ago, I was doing my research on The Fix, and I had always heard that they were from Australia. Yeah. Suzanne, do you know where they might be from?
I thought they were from England, but I'm not quite as up on them as I am on some other, you know, some of the other bands that I followed.
So Wikipedia does say they are a British new wave band. I could have sworn they were from Australia, but I could be wrong. Maybe I was misinformed a long time ago.
Mm.
So anyway,
I couldn't say for sure, and I know I've tripped you up a couple of times saying, "Wait, wasn't that from blah 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 blah?" And that you know, I'm just like remembering something completely different. So
you're good.
I don't want to screw it up.
I could have sworn like years and years went by, and I always thought they were Australian, but. Now I'm hearing that they're British, so it's cool, whatever, either way. New Wave, it's still awesome, and it's a great album, and I love it. So, do you guys have some honorable mentions that we want to talk about?
Oh, boy. Okay, can I just say it? U2 War came out that year. I'm just going to say it. really hard to choose between Synchronicity and War, but that was a fabulous, amazing album with New Year's Day and Sunday Bloody Sunday and Two Hearts Beat as One. And if we're going to do the gem, there's a song on there called Like a Song, which I used to sing in a band with my brother, if you can believe it. I used to, you know, even sing the U2 songs, but it's a really cool anthem type of song that I don't know that it so much got airplay, but it's a blast to listen to. It's there's just so much heart in this album, and it's when they really kind of became a protest band, I think. And we were, you know, right there with them. So it was phenomenal.
I like U2 a lot, especially their older stuff from when we're talking about some of the newer stuff in the, you know, 2000s and stuff was okay. There's a few songs in there that were all right, but definitely from this era, it was special, and War was definitely a huge album at the time. When we get to 1987, the Joshua Tree might have to come up again, because that was a huge impact too. Not to be too predictive, but that, yeah. Sunday Bloody Sunday, awesome song. New Year's Day, awesome song. Two Hearts Beat as One, like you said, another great song. And there's a lot of good stuff.
Refugee on that album?
The Refugee. Wait, just,
that's a great song where just the drums just come up and they're just like chanting. That's a terrific song too.
I like that they're still referring to albums as Side 1 and Side 2.
Oh, like on the Wikipedia page?
Yeah, before they start shifting over to CDs where there's no more sides. Two Hearts Beat as One. Oh, man, that song is so awesome.
Quite awesome. And yeah. I don't know, there's still kind of a rawness to U2 at this point that started to fade away, I think, after the next couple of albums. You know, they just that energy of youth, I think. Then they became a little more, and it didn't happen right away. Maybe they had a couple more years left, but, you know, they had a very long career then where they were more like pop stars and, you know, they're still doing the protest type of thing and, you know, social justice and Amnesty International and all that jazz. But you just kind of, you don't get like the grit and the rawness of a song like Refugee in the future.
I'm going to have to listen to that one because I don't know that song. Yeah, I know.
Just make sure that I'm thinking the right album. Make sure that's on that album.
No, it's on. No, The Refugee is on that album. It's considered track number 6.
So, okay.
Yeah. No, it's on there. It's on there. I just don't know it. So I'm that's more homework that I have to do.
Okay.
So you've given me 2 homework assignments so far, Suzanne.
Well, you gave me one, so mine's like an hour and a half movie. You only have to listen to 2 songs.
And one of those songs is 2 minutes.
Okay, so the movie is 83 minutes, I believe.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah.
And it's going to feel like 3 times that.
All right, I see these little Funko things. How cool is that? That you just sent me. That is the band. Yes. I love it.
Oh, the police. Okay. The police Funko.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
I haven't looked at it yet. I saw the post come through, but I'll take a look at it. So, Dave, do you have any honorable mentions?
Well, I don't know the whole album, but the song that I really there's a song out of the album. This is Elvis Costello's "Punch the Clock." I've always loved "Every Day I Write the Book." Yes,
yeah, that's a good song.
Yeah, and so like I said, I don't know much of the other songs that are on this album. It's "Punch the Clock," but I looked it up because I was curious because I wanted to know when that song came out. I think Elvis Costello, I think "Every Day I Write the Book," and I think "Veronica." And I'm not sure what year "Veronica" came out, but
"Veronica's" later.
Yeah. So
I named my daughter after Veronica.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did.
Off of that song?
Well, that song and the main character in Heather's.
Oh, okay. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Awesome.
She likes it.
That's cool. My oldest daughter is named after Meg Ryan, so.
There you go.
Yep. But
really, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Megan.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. Yep. If it had been if she had been a boy, then it would have been Harrison from Ford. Harrison Ford.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
We are quite heavily influenced, aren't we?
We are.
We totally are.
Yeah.
Could have been worse. Could have been Sting. Sting White.
That's interesting.
But yeah, "Every Day I Write the Book." Like I said, I've always loved that song. I never get tired of it. I even remember the video where he's, you have the royal couple, in the video. It was fun. He was a great artist and great influence for New Wave.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great song. I don't know that album, but that's a cool song. I think I saw him too. I went to a lot of concerts, but I saw him later. I think I saw him in like the early 90s, maybe.
But, cool.
He was fun. Yeah.
So what about you, Scott? Do you have any honorable mentions?
I really do. And this was a very, very, very close tie for second. And that's "Tears for Fears, the Hurting."
I knew you were going to say that. God. I was hoping you were going to say that.
I mean,
"Tears for Fears" rules.
"Pale Shelter." It's my second favorite "Tears for Fears" song. The first one would be "Tears Roll Down," which is not for a few more years. But "Pale Shelter" is a freaking amazing song. "Mad World" is a great song, which was done
redone by
Adam Lambert on America's Got Talent, the other one.
American Idol. Yeah, I guess American Idol.
Yes, and he did a great rendition of it. However, I do believe that the original is better. And then "Change." There's a song called "Change" that you may not know it by the title, but you would recognize it if you heard it. And then I went back and listened to the whole album again. Gems in there like Suffer the Children was actually, it had a really cool kind of a drive to it. It's just a good tune. But those three, those, you know, Mad World, Pale Shelter, and Change make this album so amazing. I can't speak highly enough about it. And it was like a really close second. I'm like, oh my God, do I pick The Fix or Tears for Fears? I was like really on the fence, and I had to listen to both albums to really, to convince me, but The Fix won out for my number one pick. But, yeah, this is good stuff. It's a great album.
Did you have the cassette?
You know, I don't know if I had this stuff, and I kind of gave the disclaimer early on in our, when we were talking, we just decided to cover New Wave, that I wasn't a huge fan of New Wave at the time.
Okay.
Like, I was a metalhead, and I didn't come to appreciate a lot of this stuff until later. Although I remember a lot of it. I remember a lot of it being on the radio or just being around school. You would just, you know, different people had different tastes, and you would hear different songs. I think radio, though, K-Rock, KROQ had a lot of stuff that they played, a lot of this new wave. And I mentioned like 1980, I think, our 1980 episode. Yeah. We talked about K-Rock and how they were playing the B-52s. No, that was 1979. That was their first album.
Yeah, you were probably, by virtue of that, hearing this stuff a lot earlier than a lot of the rest of the country, honestly.
Probably.
Like, I remember that, those songs from that album, but it's again another one of those albums that I didn't hear until much later. I didn't hear of Tears for Fears until Songs from the Big Chair came out.
Yeah.
And then later heard some of these other songs and didn't realize that they were older.
Yeah.
They were just, you know, this cool song that you heard when you were dancing. So, you know, and you had to kind of look into it and do your research and realize, oh yeah, there was an earlier album. But Change is an awesome song. That's an amazing song.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the reason why I asked about it, if you had the cassette, was because when I'm looking at Wikipedia, it says that Change had a new version that was cassette only. So I'm just wondering, if the Change version that you're listening to, is it the new version or the original?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Or if you would know. Yeah.
I don't know. I would have to try to track down all the versions and see if there's a difference between them.
Yeah, the only thing I could see is there's one's 4 minutes, 15 seconds. The other one's 4 minutes and 36 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, what's 15 seconds?
True. The fade out?
Well, that's what she said.
A long fade out, yeah. That's what she said.
I'm sorry. I could not help myself.
That's the way it's out there.
All righty then. So, any other honorable mentions?
Talking Heads, Speaking in Tongues.
Okay.
Burning Down the House.
Burning Down the House, man.
Big, big song.
Iconic.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Revenge of the Nerds, yes.
Yes.
Yep.
They're all singing along right after they burned the Alpha Beta House down.
Yep. Oh, boy. I didn't see that one, but I kind of get the picture.
Yes. All the jocks are just kind of like singing along to, you know, singing in unison, burning down the house, you know, after they had, you know, a drunken party where there was somebody, you know, they had some sort of alcohol that had like a higher volume of.
That would be Ogre. And yes,
it was an Ogre. It was the other guy.
No, it was Ogre.
Okay. All right.
It was over, yeah. And I'd be willing to put some money down on this one.
Really?
Dave. Yes, it was over, and he.
I don't think it was over.
And he lit he lit the curtains on fire. Oh, you're right, dude.
It was like some other dude that had just like.
Oh my God! You almost lost
money. Damn! I should have bet. damn it, Dave! You just don't know when to put your money down.
It just came to me. No, Ogre did spit a lot of alcohol out at one point.
Yes, yeah.
But it was not the fire on the curtains. That was another dude.
Yep. He had overalls on.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, good.
Well, that was definitely a party song.
Yes.
That was the album you put on when you had a party.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Talking Heads, those guys were a little bit out there.
They were out there.
Yeah.
But I like that.
Kind of Devo out there.
A bit. I think Devo was a little further out there.
Oh, but no, they were. Yeah.
You know, experimental types, and I think they were art students.
You probably passed Talking Heads on the way to Devo.
That's true. On the scale of
yes.
descending into weirdness. But, yes. I've expressed in these other podcasts, I really like the weirdness. I like the fact that you were allowed to just burst free and be as strange as you wanted to be, and it was still music, and people still bought it. people still danced to it.
I mean, it goes right along with kind of what you – I think you were the one that brought up Rock Lobster. So, that goes right into your wheelhouse of, I don't want to say strangeness, but, be out there and just do whatever the hell you want.
Who writes a song about a lobster? But, it's great. Yes.
It's not fish heads great, but it's good enough.
Okay.
Fish heads.
Okay. Roly-poly fish heads.
It's funny.
What was that?
Oh, gosh. That had to be early 80s, too, because that's
was a video.
Dr. Demento era right there. Yeah. We could do a show on Dr. Demento. One that wasn't mentioned by any of us was Let's Dance by David Bowie.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, yeah. That was a huge album.
Pretty big
And those
album.
Songs were great.
Yeah.
Those songs were great. David Bowie was kind of a god, and that was a shining moment.
I think he was pretty impactful as far as the new wave movement goes. Definitely. He had early roots in it from the mid 70s with Ziggy Stardust and all that stuff. That was 76 or 77. That was a long time ago. It was well before a lot of this stuff really got started. So, anyway.
Fishheads, 1980, by the way.
1980. Okay.
Yep.
Very cool. Barnes & Barnes?
Yep. Yeah. You got that right. I knew you would know that. The other album we didn't bring up is Spandau Ballet. It's true.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was quite a full decade. I mean, quite a full year in this decade. I think there were some other smaller albums, like Ministry had an album called Revenge, and Big Country came out with an album when they sang that song that was really cool. That was, it was just Big Country by Big Country. That was a pretty good song. I think New Order, came out with the album that had Blue Monday on it, which you heard at every single club everywhere you went for the next 10 years.
Actually,
there was a lot of good stuff going on.
So you said New Order with Blue Monday. New Order, the guy I mentioned earlier that did the heavy metal podcast with me, Chris, New Order is one of his favorite new wave bands. So he wanted to talk about Blue Monday at one point. But he's like, I can't make it this week. But he couldn't join in to talk about 1983 for Blue Monday and New Order, but he thinks that New Order is really one of the quintessential new wave bands of the 80s. He loves it.
So, yeah, it's true.
I love that song, too. And I even like Marilyn Manson's version of it also.
I don't know if I'm familiar with that, but I'll take your word for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, not Marilyn Manson. I'm sorry. It's... who is it? Orgy? I think it's Orgy. Yeah, great name for a band, by the way. Nothing like throwing it out there in your face. we're just going to be offensive. And crazy. No, I think it's Orgy that does a newer version of Blue Monday that's really heavy, like a lot of heavy guitar work in it. So it's kind of fun. That's kind of why I like it.
I'll check it out.
It's crunchy.
Crunchy. So, 1983 gave us Eurythmics. Here Comes the Rain Again.
See, there's so many of these. So, I'm sorry. I'm jumping all over the place. I'm going to talk back. I'm going to talk about my weekend. We went over to our friends Chris and Rosetta, and this was Chris from the heavy metal stuff, and he just went. I'm sorry. Hold on.
Holding on. Talk amongst yourselves.
Get all coffee the talk.
Yes. Get a little clip, yeah.
My dogs are acting
topic,
up.
The topic is new wave albums. Talk amongst yourselves.
My dogs were just acting up a little bit. They're getting anxious, I think. And now it threw me off my track. I don't know what I was talking about.
Suzanne's sweet like honey looking. Butter.
Honey, yeah. Like butter. She's got a voice like butter.
Yeah, like butter.
Madonna. Do the Janice again.
Kim Wilde. Janice.
Oh no, you that was me. That was Jam
Love Bing.
Love it.
That was pretty awesome. I listened to that yesterday. That was good stuff. You nailed the Janice. And I'm so glad you guys brought them up, that character up from Friends, because it was always one that stood out to me as one of the funniest little, you know, supporting characters that they threw in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of like.
He was a laugh and a half.
Kind of like when, who was Chandler's mom? Or dad, I'm sorry. It was his dad, but it was.
Kathleen Turner. It was
Kathleen Turner.
Yes. Like
yes.
Queen. Yeah.
Yes. So, you guys did a good job on that Friends episode.
That was fun. That was
way
fun.
Too much fun.
With so many hysterical moments, though, you know, how could you not just like laugh through the whole thing?
Pivot.
Pivot.
I had to throw that in. I had to edit that in. Yes.
So I totally lost track of where I was going with Chris, the story about Chris. But anyway, we'll talk about it again sometime. He'll be on eventually.
Okay. Well, that's good. Good. Well, add somebody new into the mix and have fun.
Yeah, no, he really wants to come in on 1985, and he already told me the album that he wants to talk about, so I'm expecting it. But anyway, let's wrap it up for the night. What do you say?
Okay.
You mean we're not bringing up Culture Club? Okay.
No Culture Club.
Oh, no, Culture Club.
Oh, you know what? I remember now what he was saying. He was saying that...
Culture Club reminded you of what Chris said?
Yes, because we could keep going on and on. He was saying that we had to do several years of the heavy metal podcast where we had to do two shows.
Yes.
And that was when we were picking three albums per person. So we were picking like six albums. So now we're only picking one. He's like, he said you could easily go into two or three episodes of breaking down each year. Of 83, 84, 85, 86, somewhere in that range, where you could really spread it out over many episodes.
So, I know. I hate not to be able to just mention everything.
Yeah. So
Culture Club. There's nods to Culture Club. That was a great album, too. And that, you know,
his numbers.
Yeah. Boy George's style just, you know, blew everybody away.
His voice was really, he was really talented, but I did not like their music.
They were fun to dance to. You have to like the dance.
Yeah. It was a little too poppy for me.
Come a chameleon. All right, go ahead.
You come and go?
Come and go?
I love it. It was fun. That was a fun album.
Is that the one with Tumble For You on it too?
I'd have to look because it looks like there was Kissing to be Clever in 82, Color by Numbers in 83, and then another one in 84. So, you know, I couldn't even at this point pinpoint which one was on which if they were so close together.
Now, this goes back to the whole New Wave thing. Does Billy Idol, is he considered New Wave?
Yeah, ooh. I would consider him New Wave.
See, I wouldn't either.
I don't know.
No,
but
I would.
When you Google 1983 New Wave albums, you get Rebel Yell.
I would consider him New Wave. And I think he started out more like part of the punk scene from what I'm reading. I'm actually reading Boy George's autobiography right now. It's interesting.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah.
Any insights?
Well, it was interesting. It was fun. It was more me remembering that that weird punk scene was kind of, it was counterculture, and it was almost like looked down on at times. Like there was just like almost like rejects of society.
Right.
But then they became these like pop culture icons. So it's a really strange, it was a really strange transition. It happened very quickly. Yeah. And in, I just kept reading it all saying, what was I there? What was I there? What was I stuck home on Long Island? I would have had so much more fun in London in 1979, you know?
Yeah,
That would have been an interesting time to be in that area. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, think about New York, too, was a forefront in a lot of that stuff. New York and Southern, you know, California was big, too. And I kind of missed out on some of the California stuff because I didn't know what was in front of me. You know, you can't see the forest for the trees and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. But you can look back, and that's fun, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's definitely some things that being in London in the late 70s, early 80s would have been really, really interesting. Knowing what we know now, of course. Yeah. Hindsight's 2020 and all that good stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is going to be the episode that doesn't end because I keep finding songs that I want to bring up.
No.
Wang Chung Dance Hall Days came out in 1983.
Oh, really? Oh yeah, wow. That was a cool record, too.
It is. This could be the cool episode record that never ends. It really could
never
be.
Never-ending episode.
Like, really. The never-ending story. Where's Lamal when we need him?
Yeah, exactly.
I keep saying to myself, it wasn't my imagination. This is some amazing music happening.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not your imagination. It is music. It is amazing music. And
there actually was an Oingo Boingo album, too.
Oh, yeah, I know. Good for your soul.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one, too. I think it was Good for Your Soul.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
All right, I'll stop now. I'll stop looking at Google.
Okay.
What was on that? We'll well, now you make me gotta wonder what's on Good for Your Soul. Tell me, Dave.
Let's see. We've got Who Do You Want to Be? Good for Your Soul. No Spill Blood.
Goodbye. Okay. Is it Goodbye on that one?
Goodbye. No.
We had that one. Well, my boyfriend had that one, who I'm now married to, so now it's mine.
Cry of the Vatos. Fill the Void.
Vatos. Cry of the Vatos.
Sweat.
Sweat. That's a good one.
Nothing bad ever happens.
Nothing bad ever happens to me. Wake Up, It's 1984.
Oh, that was a good one, too.
Wake Up, It's 1984 is an amazing
1984.
Song.
Why do I feel that Suzanne's going to like the
Forbidden
movie?
Zone? She's going to like Forbidden Zone. She was.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, that was a good song. I might like it, you know? Just got to give it a listen.
Oh, no, the movie.
Songs might pull you through.
Yeah, the movie.
No, the movie. The movie is you'll
try
find
it.
Actually.
I'll try. I remember.
So, thanks for bringing that one up, Dave.
Yeah, well, you know, I figure it's only fair. You know, if that's going to be our initiation, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Welcome to the club.
Well, thanks. I'll tell you, it's getting late, though. I don't know if I can stay on too much longer.
No, we got to wrap it up. We'll wrap it up. We'll,
dude, come on, Overlord, let's go.
All right, settle. So, you can find us at BonsaiRetroClub.com or on all the social media venues of Twitter and Facebook and Instagram through Bonsai Retro Club, and you can find Suzanne at Suzanne Mattaboni. You're gonna have to spell it for me though. I don't know if I can do it. So wait, S U Z A N N E M A T T O AB. Oh my God. MATT.
Oh my God.
MATTABONI.
They'll never get it. Forget it.
Just let her do it.
It's a tough one.
MATTABONI.
.com.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry I destroyed that.
You're not the first.
I'm sure. Not everybody has a nice, easy name like Dave White.
Yes, this is true. In my lifetime, only one person has misspelled my last name.
Yeah. And I get to use the term, straight out of Compton. Like, that's how I could get people to know my last name is Compton. Like straight out of.
That works, yeah.
People get it. Oh, okay, I get it now.
I just have to spell it every time.
Yeah, you do.
I don't even ask.
Because we always associate Scott with the streets.
So, all right, well, so you can find Suzanne at her website, at previously said website. and Suze Mattaboni on Twitter and on Facebook and all that good stuff. So yeah. Anyway,
we've lost control.
As Dave always likes to say, be excellent to each other and have a good whatever.
Bye-bye.
Woo.
Time for a drink.
You so made it.
That was a fun one.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel said.
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!